Jesus came to have a relationship with us, and a huge part of having that relationship is spending time with him. Bernie Diamond, thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today's message is the last in a series that I've called One Year Ends and Another Begins. And today we're going to take a short time just to look ahead to the new year, 2014. What lies ahead? What does it hold? What's God's plan for you? So as we share this time together today, I'm praying that the Lord will fill you with a sense of hope and anticipation for what lies ahead through His Spirit and His Word. Well, the year's over. We're looking forward to another year. New Year's about to happen. I don't know about you, but I often get to this time of the year and I think, man, where has that year gone? It just seems to have gone so quickly. And what I do know is that I'll just blink and turn around and it'll be March, April, May, June again, and the next year will be half over. There's something about the new year. You know, as we look forward to that next year, we have some hopes and some dreams. We think, man, I really want this to happen. I really want that to happen. I'd like this to get better or that to get better. We have these kind of idealized things that we'd like to see happen. And that's great. That's good. That's okay. But I thought, what is it that I could share in this week? What's the really important thing looking forward to this new year? Anybody who believes in Jesus, anybody who halfway acknowledges God as God, knows that we should put God first. You know, we should put God first in our lives in all sorts of different ways, in spending some time with Him, in learning, in just honoring Him in our everyday lives. But it's a struggle, right? It's a struggle. We live in a busy kind of world, in an email, mobile phone, SMS, work, family, all the modern conveniences, all the distractions, all the hindrances. And somehow right now at this time of the year, we take a little break from that. You know, we kind of just veg out a little bit and have a bit of a rest. And it's just such a good time to think about this year looking forward and think, why am I so busy? And why is it that I don't have time sometimes for the important things, for my relationships, for my relationship with God, my relationship with my family, my relationship with friends and work colleagues and acquaintances? People who believe in Jesus know they should spend time with Him. We know that in our heads. We know we should pray more. I often ask when I'm speaking to groups of people, does anybody feel that they pray too much? Has anybody got a problem of thinking, I spend far too much time in prayer? I've yet to find one. We all have a sense we should spend more time. You know, we all know we should open that book, the Bible, and read and see what God's saying to us. But so many people who believe in Jesus just don't. And in not doing that, we feel more and more guilty. We feel a sense of, I'm just not good enough. I'm not close to God. I'm not this. I'm not that. We pedal hard. We do things for God. But underneath, something's missing. There's this nagging suspicion. Something's not right. We have an outer life, the thing that other people see, and an inner life, which is the things that we experience on the inside. And so often we focus on the outer life, pedaling hard, doing stuff. And deep inside, we're screaming for something that's just not there. I meet so many people who say, I am a Christian, and that's how I feel. One of my favorite pictures that I have, and I use it on slides when I'm speaking. It's one of the limitations of radio. I'd love to hold it up to the microphone, but it's pretty useless, huh? Is this Basset Hound. It's a picture of a long Basset Hound. You know Basset Hounds. They have the big droopy ears and that sort of sad, stodgy look. And it's a Basset Hound with a rocket strapped to his back. It's just a beautiful picture. And to me, it's a picture of how Christians sometimes try and lead their lives. Inside, life's a dog, but outside, We want life to be a rocket. You know, we want life to fly through. We're always concentrating on the outside, on getting ahead in our careers or having a bit of this or having a more of that. We want life to be a rocket, but inside life is a dog. And you know something? The outside might fly for a bit like a rocket, but life is still a dog. That's the moral of my Basset Hound picture. And so when life's not going so well, we tinker with the rocket, right? We tinker with the things on the outside. We try and change our behaviour. A good friend of mine, Peter Watson, who's also a minister and a preacher, I heard him say once, Christianity is not primarily about behaviour modification. Some people think, whether they are Christians or whether they are people who are looking at this whole Christianity thing from the outside, that it's about a bunch of rules. It's about being a better person. It's about doing things on the outside that make us look better. If I change these things on the outside, surely the things on the inside will get better. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but that is not what following Jesus is all about. That is called legalism. And in fact, in the New Testament, it's referred to as the doctrine of demons. That's tough language. So what is life about? What does minister to that deep thing inside each one of us? Well, Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you joy. I've come to give you an abundant life. When he prayed just before he was crucified, he said, Father, I desire that those whom you've given me may be with me where I am so that they can share in my glory. It's about relationship. Let me ask you a question. Can a man and a woman have a sensational marriage without having an intimate relationship? Duh. Of course not. So what makes us think that we can have a great life as a Christian? You know, one of those Christian walks that flies like a rocket when our relationship with Jesus is like a dog. Wake up! Jesus came to have a relationship with us. And a huge part of having that relationship is spending time with him. Our chief purpose on this earth is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is not optional. Enjoying God is not an optional extra. You ignore that part and your relationship with Jesus falls apart. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The thing that makes us strong in walking with Jesus is enjoying the relationship with him. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk in the power of God. Then the outside comes from the inside. The things that we see on the outside of our lives, the visible things, they're manifestations of a fantastic relationship with Jesus, just like a happy marriage is a manifestation of a close relationship between husband and wife. Jesus was really big on this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, out of what's happening inside you, the inner life. If you're getting that right, if you're having a rich, fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the bit that's going to transform the outside, not the other way around. Jesus also said murder begins in the heart. The bad stuff we do comes from some rotten stuff happening in our hearts. If you have a Bible, open it. We're going to go to Psalm 91. I love the way that this psalm opens up and begins. It says, the person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? And if you do, are you able to say that day after day, my refuge and my God, my fortress in whom I trust? Are we able to say that? Or do we live under stress and live amongst people and the dirt and the tough life and run around and get angry with people? Or do we come into this kind of, this safe haven, this dwelling place, this secret place of the Most High? I see both sorts of Christians. I see some people who say, I'm a Christian, and they are running around in a flap and living in the flesh and complaining and struggling and grumbling and lashing out at the other people, and they are ugly people. People like that are difficult and painful to be around. We're going to say it the way it is, and yet you meet other people who say, I believe in Jesus, and there's this kind of, this joy coming out of their pores. You know, there's this something, peace, this love that's happening. Often Christians are like Jonah, you know, he spent 3 days in the belly of that fish before he finally figured it out. Go to God. The psalmist here says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean, dwell? What does that mean, abide? What do they look like? I think they're a decision. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask for whatever you like. Isaiah wrote, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Clothe yourself with Christ, wrote Paul the apostle. Be filled with the spirit. Put on the full armor of God. Look at verse 9 of this psalm. It says, if you make the Most High your dwelling place. He's talking to us, people. God is talking to us. He's saying, you have a choice. You can either decide to dwell in me, in my presence. You can choose a relationship that is as abiding and as close and as an intimate relationship as any relationship between a husband and wife. Or you can just decide to go out there and live in that busy, noisy, stressful world and make decision after decision after decision without me and just not hang out quietly with me. Abide and dwell speak of an unhurried, long-term relationship, of a talk, of a chat, of an intimacy, of an enjoyment, of a permanence. In my work, the things that I do, I'm very blessed in that my office is a study in my house. It's well equipped. It's just a really good place to work. And so it's very easy. I get up early in the morning. I go downstairs and I'm able to work from early. It's peaceful. It's quiet. I can do so many things. I have phones and email, sure. And another part of my life is out in meetings or hopping on planes and flying and talking to people, and I enjoy that too. But, you know, if I only ever worked at home in the study, truly I think I'd go stir crazy because I need to interact with people. It's nice to have those quiet times as I'm preparing these messages that I do on radio and writing and doing all those things. It's wonderful to have the peace and the quiet and the privacy to do those things. But it's also great to be out there, you know, interacting in the cut and thrust of life, getting on a plane, flying to somewhere and meeting and doing things for God's glory. And ultimately, my work life is a balance between those two. If I could never withdraw into the sanctuary of my study, I'd never be able to put these programs together. If I was always out there meeting with people, I'd never have that sort of quiet time to do what I have to do. And the opposite is true too. If I spent all my time in the study and never out with people, that would be a bad thing too. It's a balance. And the same is true in our relationship with God. God calls us to dwell with him, but also to walk with him. Jesus talking about coming in and going out. There are two sorts of worship spoken about in the New Testament. The sort of worship when we're one-on-one with God and we're just going for it and praying or singing or enjoying him. That's the inner worship, the inner life. And then there's a worship of service, a doing, of living, of getting out there and doing the things that we do for the glory of God. And if we spend all of our time out there, we end up burning out. We end up being a man pleaser. We need to spend some time in the sanctuary. We need to spend some time with Jesus, becoming a God pleaser. Why bother with this inner life? What, Bernie, why are you rattling on? Here we are. We're looking at New Year. We're looking at all the things that we could have ahead of us. Why are you talking about the inner life? Because God's word promises some amazing things when we dwell in him, in our inner life. Let's just have a read of Psalm 91. Let's just read it through. It's just a beautiful psalm. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, because he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his pinions and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield. You won't fear the terror of the night and the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. or the destruction that wastes the noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You'll only look with your eyes to see the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you. No scourge will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You'll trample under your foot. Those who love me, says God, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call me, I'll answer them. I'll be with them in trouble. I'll rescue them. I'll honour them. With long life, I will satisfy them, and I will show them my salvation. See, I believe that as we look forward to this next year, we're going to stop focusing on the outer life and start focusing on the inner life. The promises that God makes in this psalm are amazing. He promises those who dwell with him, who abide with him, that he will deliver us. He will stop us from being afraid. Look at that, verse 5. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. He promises in verse 9 to keep us from evil. He promises us in verse 11, he will command his angels concerning us. In other words, we are protected by the presence of God. And yet there's something else. There's something else that'll happen. Look at verse 1 of the psalm again, Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The thing that happens when we dwell in the presence of God is that we change. God does something in us, and he gives us a confidence and a strength and a joy to keep going. Let me share a little story with you. It was just the other day. So many good things had been happening in my life and in the ministry, and we'd had phone calls from countries all over the world who were wanting to take our radio programs, and God was really blessing us. But I had a long day. There was one day I had a board meeting, and it was a 20-hour day. And the next day, I had to get up and prepare radio programs. And I tell you, when I got up, I had such a heaviness on me, You know how sometimes God does some really good things and the next day it's as though there's this heaviness? I believe what's happening is that when good things happen, the devil comes and attacks us. The devil comes and sits on our shoulder and says, you can't do this. You haven't got what it takes. God's not really doing anything. And that's the sort of sense that I had. And I got up early in the morning, as I always do. I needed to prepare some messages for radio programs. I had so much to do. You know, the temptation was just to race on and do all the work that I had to do. You know, to do the outer life stuff, the stuff that you end up seeing. I didn't have time to stop and pray. I just was too busy. And I just felt that I should stop and pray. And so I did. I spent an hour with the Lord. And the prayer was really simple. Father, I feel so down today. I feel so I'm struggling with all the load that I have. I need you. I need your presence. I want your Holy Spirit to fill my space, to fill my heart, to fill my mind, to fill my body. I want you, Lord. And we spent the most magnificent hour together, God and I. And at the end of it, the two messages that I needed to prepare that normally would take me several hours, they went so quickly. I can't begin to tell you how God stepped into my space and he was my strength. The sense of being down, the sense of being attacked, the sense of uncertainty. God dealt with all of that by just being there for me. God shows up when we ask him. And we sometimes have this silly notion, we've got to get all dressed up and we've got to get all in the right attitude and we've got to get all right before we go to God. But the opposite is true. Those who live in the shelter of Almighty, those who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, they are the ones that will discover that God is their refuge, their fortress, their strength, the one who takes those things away. Let me tell you something. Unless we're living in the presence of God, unless God is our shelter and our refuge, we can't feel blessed at those times. Unless our heart transfers into the presence of God, unless hearing God's voice and feeling his touch and knowing his healing, unless that becomes a reality to us. We can't front up to a world where people misunderstand us and give us a hard time, unless we're prepared to admit our need. We can never inherit the blessings of God. Sometimes we think of this old man in a stained glass window as being God, but David had it right in Psalm 27. David said this, he said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of God." The presence of God is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. And as we look at Jesus, that changes us. As we hang around with him, we start to look and sound and act and behave like him. We can't help it, because being with him changes us. Imagine if you have an ambassador from another country come to your country. If you had, let's say, the Italian ambassador come to your country, would you expect him to look and sound like an Italian? My hunch is you would. If the Swedish ambassador were to come to your country, or the American ambassador, or the Fijian ambassador, or the South African ambassador, would you expect those people to look and sound like American, Swedes, Fijian, South Africans? Of course we would. If we call ourselves by Jesus' name, if we say we are Christians, well, my goodness, we better look like him. We better look like ambassadors of Christ. And the only way we end up looking like him, the only way we end up loving people like him, the only way we end up with that sweet, beautiful, gracious countenance that smacks of Jesus is by spending time with him. The most important thing I can share with you looking forward to this new year is this. If you believe in Jesus, then spend some time with him for Christ's sake, because that changes the outer life. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, from glory to glory to glory." The more we spend time with him, the more the outside life changes. God can do so much more with our lives than we can ever do on our own. I was out for a walk just the other day, and I was walking around my suburb, which is a suburb where there are lots of 19th century terrace houses, and the thing that people are doing with those terrace houses now is renovating them. A lot of people are spending money, and I was just walking past one terrace house. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and there I saw the tradesmen scraping the old paint off the house and scraping the old paint off the fence, and the carpenter was working inside. And over a period of months, I know that this beautiful old house, in a sense, it'll still look the same, but in a sense, it will be thoroughly, thoroughly new on the inside. And that's what God wants to do with our life. It's like restoring a painting that's become dirty and faded, and little bit by little bit, the restorer peels back the dirt and peels back and touches up this. And then we stand back after the restoration and we think, my goodness, what a beautiful painting. It's been restored back into the original image that it was always intended to look like. You and I were always intended to look like God. Not to be God, but to look like him. Because we were made in the image of God. And through our lives and through the things that we've done wrong and through the hurts that we get from others, we've been soiled. Our lives have become dysfunctional. Every day, people throw mud at us and it sticks. Every day, the devil throws mud at us and it sticks. And the only thing that makes us clean, the only thing that makes us whole on the inside, the only thing that brings that joy and that peace and that laughter and that abundance that God wants us to have is spending time with Jesus. I'm too busy. I haven't got time to read the Bible. We can come up with every excuse that we want, but he wants to hold us close. He wants to change our life. He wants you and me to see for ourselves the glory and the beauty and the wonder that is God. That's the most important thing I can share with you. looking forward to this year. As you look forward to the year ahead in this quiet time between Christmas and New Year, my prayer for you is that you'll take the bold decision, if you haven't already done so, to spend some precious, quiet time with Jesus each and every day in the year ahead. Because when you do, it'll make the world of difference to your life. And speaking of making a difference, I have a special gift for you. This is the last week that it'll be available, so look, I don't want you to miss out. Throughout the past year, we've broadcast hundreds of messages just like the one that you've heard today. And of course, we've received so many responses and testimonies from people who've been touched through them. But some messages really stand out. Some of them cause a blip, a spike in responses. And so we've put a few of those together in a special e-booklet called The Best of 2013. And you can download that e-booklet right now from ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see it right there in the middle of the homepage, The Best of 2013. Click on it and it'll be in your email in tray in just minutes. The wonders of technology. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Father God, we know that we should spend time with you, and yet so often we don't make the time. Lord, fill us with a sense of anticipation. Fill our hearts with a desire to spend some quiet time alone with you each and every day in this coming year. Your blessing and your peace and your joy and your power would fill our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again soon, right here on Christianity Works, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.